temples and wearing a monocle over his left eye, sat at one of the desks. He looked up as they walked in.
"Might I help you?"
"Sir," Albert began as they stopped before the desk with a salute. "We have quests to turn in, plus something more. We were hoping to speak with the lady sergeant who was on duty earlier."
"Sergeant Sonia?"
the duty sergeant questioned, getting a nod in return.
"Very well. Please wait a moment."
He pulled on a rope behind his desk, and a young boy came running out of a back room.
"Find Sonia, and have her attend the front desk, and don't dally."
The boy took off at a run for the stairs.
"It will be just a minute,"
the sergeant told them. A few minutes later, the boy came back down the stairs, followed by the red-haired sergeant. She wasn't in uniform, her hair was tousled, and her clothes looked to have been pulled on in haste. She glanced at the group with a raised brow, then addressed the sergeant at the desk.
"Yes, Gregor. This lot here said they wished to turn their quest into you. Special-like. Also, they hinted at having found something interesting,"
Gregor said, taking off his monocle and polishing it. Sergeant Sonia pursed her lips as she turned to the group.
"You chose a Laun earlier to speak with, so why are you turning in your quests to me?" "Didn't care for his attitude,"
Karen spoke up from behind Albert. A faint glimmer of amusement flitted across Sonia's face.
"I see. Well then, let me see how I can help you. I see you've completed all four of the quests."
She went behind another desk and pulled out 5 bags of coin, along with a bronze disc for each of them. "Here's the gold and a token for an item from the quartermaster for each of you. Did you have anything else?"
"Quest completed. Kill 20 broken dead. Receive 200 gold and increased rep with Stormguard guards. Quest completed. Kill 20 furious dead. Receive 200 gold and increased rep with Stormguard guards. Quest completed. Banish 5 spiritual takers. Receive 200 gold and increased rep with Stormguard guards. Quest completed. Cleanse the ruins of Lament. Receive 500 gold and an item from the quartermaster stores."
Albert passed the coins and tokens to the others, dropping his into his pouch.
"Yes, we found this book in the ruins."
He placed a slim, leather-bound journal on the desk. "The author claims to be a necromancer named Walker. He was conducting experiments on the remains of the dead in the ruins. He was attempting to create a lure that would draw undead to them."
Sonia's eyes narrowed as she picked up the book.
Scanning a few pages, she nodded.
"I'll have to bring this to the commander. He will have to decide on an appropriate reward for you."
"Can we just ask for as much experience as he can give out?" Albert asked quickly.
Sonia blinked at him. Then her lips creased into a smile.
"I can do that, without having to bother him tonight. You have my thanks for bringing this to us, Alpha Company."
She bowed her head as a pop-up telling them they had gained a level appeared before the group.
"I wish you well in your future endeavors, if you will excuse me."
Albert gave her a salute, as did the rest of the group. After returning it, the sergeant headed for the stairs.
"Bonus quest completed. Hand over the journal to the commander of Lament Keep. Receive maximum experience allowable for quest."
As she vanished up the stairs, Gregor chuckled.
"You have certainly made her year. Is there anything else I can do for you?"
"Is the quartermaster available?" Albert asked.
"He normally can be found at the inn around this time."
"Tell him I sent you." Gregor smiled. "Thank you, sir," Gerald said as another salute was exchanged. The group headed for the inn so they could finish their business for the night. Most of the customers were off-duty guards, relaxing with mugs of ale. At a table by himself sat a dwarf with the quartermaster insignia on his sleeve.
"Excuse us, sir," Gerald greeted the man. "Sergeant Gregor sent us to you to turn in our tokens."
The dwarf looked up from his mug.
"He did, eh?"
The group was taken aback at the visage of the dwarf. His lower lip was missing, and jagged scars creased his face.
Fine. Let me finish this mug, and I'll take you over to the shop.
The quartermaster downed the mostly full mug in one swig. The tankard thunked onto the table, followed by a loud belch as he got to his feet.
Follow.
Following the brusque dwarf, the group exchanged a few glances, but no one made any comments. It was a short walk over to the smithy. The quartermaster lit a lamp and pulled a thick, red leather tome out from under the counter.
Dune take all night, he told them as he leaned against the counter.
Mary Sue opened the tome first and quickly flipped through it. Nodding, she put her token on the counter and tapped the page. A beautiful platinum and opal ring appeared in her hand.
This will do nicely.
Fluffball chose a ring of rubies set in mithril. Karen picked up a ring with emeralds framed by gold. Gerald took a moment, but settled on a ring of an unusual white metal that held 3 diamond chips. Alberit was the last to take the book. He scanned the last few pages as the others had done, as their armor and weapons were still new. He finally settled on a plain band of infernal steel that gave him 65 wisdom and 10 intelligence, which would replace his old 10 intelligence ring.
Good. Glad you nay all take your sweetheart's time.
The quartermaster grumbled as he took the book away along with the tokens.
Now that we be done, y'all mind shoving off so I can get back to drinking?
Have a good night, Gerald replied as the group all took out their homestones. You all up for another zone tomorrow?
Gladly, Alberit told him. See you then.
They vanished from the smithy, each reappearing at their bind location. The party disbanded as the quartet entered their house.
We going to go out with them again?
Fluffball asked.
That is the current plan, Alberit replied.
As long as it doesn't hinder Gerald in running the guild, they can come with us as often as they want.
That'll be good, Stacia murmured. We be having a stew to be making, Fluff. Karen, will you take her gear so we can get it started?
Of course,
Karen agreed, as she waited for Fluff to hand over her stuff.
We going to sell stuff tomorrow before heading out?
We can wait a day or two. Our bags are barely touched,
Alberit told her as they walked towards the bedroom to drop off gear.
How about we clean up while they start dinner?
Eyes smoldering as a desire washed over him, Karen smirked.
Oh, yes. After all, I'm such a dirty girl, right?
When Karen and Alberit finally emerged from the bathroom, dinner was almost ready. Stacy was smirking at them as she motioned them to the table.
Now that you're to be clean in body, if in nay in mind or deed, we can be having some food.
She brought the opened wine bottle to the table, along with the bread.
Fluff was very diligent in learning from me. I will nay be surprised if she can replicate the meal again without me aid.
Fluff's smile echoed the happiness they could all feel from her.
It is ready, she said, turning off the stove.
She set the pot on the table next to Alberit, then took her seat next to him.
I hope you all like it.
I'm sure it will be wonderful,
Karen replied, as she took the bowl that Alberit handed her. Once everyone had a bowl, they took the first bite at the same time. Stacia looked thoughtful while she chewed, smiling at Fluff after swallowing.
Aye, an apt pupil ye be. This tastes almost like me own.
Happiness and embarrassment swirled around Fluff as she smiled down at her bowl.
I had a wonderful teacher. She walked me through each step, never once chiding me when I made mistakes, but gently correcting me instead.
She does do gentle pretty well, Alberit agreed. I have to agree with Stacia. This is very good. I don't know if I'd be able to tell the difference.
Another surge of emotion came from Fluff as she gave Alberit a sidelong glance.
Being praised for my cooking is still new, but it feels nice.
It always feels nice when someone we care for tells us they like what we do for them, Alberit replied as he touched her hand on the table.
Agreed,
Karen added before taking another bite.
This is very good.
The 4 of them fell into comfortable silence as they enjoyed the meal. Fluff's happiness permeated the air along with the enjoyment of the others as they ate. Stacia was the first on her feet when they'd finished eating.
If any will handle the dishes, Karen, I think it'd be time for me and Fluff to clean up,
Stacia told the others as she came around the table. Holding her hand out to Fluffball with a smile on her lips, she asked,
You'll be ready? Oh, sure. And I'll keep Albert busy out here.
Karen chuckled as she started to collect the dishes. Have fun, you two. Goodness knows Karen delayed us long enough earlier. Albert intoned dryly.
I delayed us?
Karen raised a single brow at him.
Who was it that rolled who over on the tile? Come, Fluff. Let them enjoy their argument. It'd be our turn to get cleaned up.
Stacia led Fluff away. Fluff glanced back over her shoulder, her brow furrowing slightly as she looked at the other two. Their words sounded like arguing, but the love that moved between them carried no hint of anger or hurt.
Stacia, do you think they'll always be like that?
Albert heard her ask, just before the bedroom door shut behind her. Albert, Half-Blood Infernal Summoner, Level 66. Strength, 269. Parentheses, 264. Agility, 269. Parentheses, 264. Constitution, 222. Parentheses, 192. Intelligence, 192. Parentheses, 162. Wisdom, 854. Parentheses, 569. Charisma, 299. Parentheses, 264. Health, 5,520. Mana, 11,840. Spells, Demon Skin, rank 7. Demonic Retribution, rank 6. Summon Improved Imp. Fire Blast, rank 6. Sap Strength, rank 6. Demonic Haze, rank 6. Summon Improved Destroyer. Demonic Vitality, rank 6. Fire Burst, rank 6. Summon Improved Succubus. Abilities. Personal Spells. Flame Weapon. Copy. Infernal Upgrade. Succubus Ally. Infernal Upgrade. Imp, Big Boom. Infernal Upgrade. Destroyer, Demonic Shell. Infernal Upgrade. Succubus, Comforting Touch. Copy. Infernal Upgrade. Succubus, Essence Drain. Still Caster. Infernal Upgrade. Imp, Burning Cleanse. Infernal Upgrade. Destroyer, Savage Roar. Infernal Upgrade. Destroyer, Bash. Racial Abilities. Cast Spells Without Verbal Components. Physical Damage Reduction, 25%. Magical Damage Reduction, 10%. Influence Emotions. Fire Resistance, 50%. Reputation Gains at Half Value.
Chapter 33. Albert and the others didn't waste much time the next morning. While Stacia made them a quick breakfast, Albert sent messages to Gerald and Mary Sue, deciding what zone they should visit next. The four of them headed out to the zone, the Swamp of Misery, and picked up the quests from the sergeant on duty inside the keep. They were hanging around near the gates, wondering at the delay, when Gerald and Mary Sue showed up.
Morning, Gerald greeted them. Sorry about the delay. I had to remove a couple of people from the guild before we left the keep. It seems two of our new recruits thought the staff that Kim arranged for to work in the keep were free game.
His face darkened. Not only did they lay hands on two women, they then decided to fight the guards who arrived to help the poor girls. Albert's hands curled into tight fists, the hate pouring off of him palpable enough that Mary Sue stepped back from him.
They raped them? Thankfully, no.
Gerald let out a deep breath.
They had just started to seriously grope them when the guards arrived, though it might have made it to that point if they hadn't been interrupted. I had just finished replying to you guys when the guards summoned me down to the throne room. The two of them were trussed up before the throne by the time I made it there. The whole time I was listening to the guards' account, the two kept repeating the same thing, how they hadn't done anything wrong because it didn't matter what they did to the NPCs. Stacia touched Albert's shoulder, helping bleed away some of his rage. What happened to them? Turned them over to the guards to have them sent to Stormguard for a stay in the stockades. Seems attempted rape carries a 1-year sentence. Gerald replied with no emotion. Both of them vanished at that point. Pretty sure they used the emergency out tab that we were told about before we went into the pods. That means they aren't testing anymore, and they've been kicked from the guild. His face took on an evil smile they hadn't seen before. Fleeing a sentence is another 5-year sentence, and if they do it again, it earns them hated reputation with the guards. That's kill on sight for any guard that sees them. Serves them right, Albert hissed, as his anger began to abate some with Stacia's aid. Why are our people such scum?
Not everyone is,
Fluffball told him as she touched his curled left hand.
No one here is, for instance. Any other fallout from that incident?
Karen asked. Not yet, Gerald replied, rolling his neck as if to break up some tension.
You did the right thing,
Mary Sue added.
As I told you on the way here.
She turned her attention to the others.
We're thinking of adding a couple more officers to the roster, and giving them your room at the keep, if that's okay.
Who are you thinking? Karen asked. Ironhand and Leggy Lass, Gerald told her. He's been solid, and she did come back to be here again. She might not be as enthusiastic about it, but he's all for it. He asked if he could help arrange more social events with Mary Sue. They've taken a trio of new members under their wings, and have gone back to lower-level areas to help get their new people leveled up. Add Roland, too, Albert suggested, finally calm enough to speak normally. He was still somewhat distracted, having thought that level of rage was behind him. He's Kim's husband, and he's an integral part of keeping our portal up. I was thinking of doing that, Gerald nodded. And I wanted to ask if you had any other ideas. If you're all going to level as much as you can, and we're going to join you as much as we can, it behooves us to pull in more officers that I can delegate to.
Aye, that'd be a good point,
Stacia agreed.
I can't think of anyone else right now,
Karen shrugged.
Me sister may be ready for that kind of responsibility, but I would be asking for her,
Stacia grinned.
We also have two guards who want to join next month, when their time with the Stormguard guard ends,
Mary Sue commented, as she accepted the quests Albert shared with them. I like the idea of more natives in the guild, Albert said. We'll see when the time comes, then, Gerald said as he pulled his shield off his back. We ready to get this party started? Now is good, Albert agreed, as he silently summoned Bob and Tiny. Hey guys, Lannister's today, you good?
I shall serve as you wish,
Tiny rumbled.
Ready to have some charbroiled tail?
Bob chortled as BJ appeared beside him.
Go Team Imp,
he added, high-fiving himself. Let's get going before he gets even more excited, Gerald said as he started walking away from the keep.
Spoil sport,
Bob retorted, adding a rude sound while squinting his eyes at Gerald the whole time. Mary Sue giggled softly enough that Gerald couldn't hear as she followed him. Coming, she called out, falling into step a few feet behind him. The others trailed along after them, with Bob cackling about Mary Sue's giggle. He didn't say anything, though, not wanting to get her in trouble for siding with him. Albert waited until they were out of sight of the gates before he used copy on Stacia. Kitten appeared with a wicked grin and wink for Albert, then Karen and finally Fluff, before she fell in behind them all.
She certainly does like to flaunt it,
Karen chuckled as she eyed Stacia, who winked back.
I do like to remind you all that I be a demon that is addicted to sex,
Stacia replied with a smirk.
Fluff looked away. It's not always about sex.
Aye, Stacia added with a seductive whisper. Just rubbing down a beautiful body can be enough at times.
A shiver of pleasure and anticipation ran through Fluff, which was felt by the others.
I promised that we would tonight. I be looking ever so much forward to it, too.
Stacia purred throatily, licking her lips as she did.
Did we miss something from the bath last night? Albert asked.
Mayhap.
Stacia grinned mischievously at him.
I think Fluff is going to have some time alone with Stacia tonight, Karen guessed.
No.
Fluff shook her head.
You get to be there as well, to make it easier on me.
The small pulse of sadness and acceptance from Al brought the eyes of the other three to him.
No, no, it's fine. His moment of sadness vanished, overwhelmed by his love for them.
My time will come someday. I want you all to be happy.
Maybe we can do a memory of mine, a happy one of Kaylee and David, before you three have your fun.
Aye, Kitten husked from behind him. That I can do for ya. Mayhap, though, we can relive the memory of our first time with Karen instead. That will keep you smiling all night.
The memory of that night brought a smile to Albert's lips. Fair enough, but one of you is going to have to help me in the morning.
Me, Karen said with a leer. I'll take you down.
Laughing, Albert held up his hands.
I surrender.
Not yet, but you will, Karen added.
Sometime later, the ground around them started looking decidedly soggy. Albert was sure anyone who stepped off the path would sink several inches into the ground.
Looks lovely, Albert muttered. I wonder where all the Langostores are.
Bob, who had taken to the air at the edge of the tree line, called down to him.
I can see a number of brutal Langostores and woodbound Langostores off to the east. It looks like a path is coming up that leads out to the small spit of land they're on.
East it is, then, Gerald called out, as he kept his eyes open for the break in the path.
Gerald found the fork in the path, which narrowed when they turned onto the eastward divergence. Bob kept pace with them, going from tree to tree, not flying so much as gliding from perch to perch. After a few more minutes, the trees gave way to a wet expanse of ground. Not a river or a pond, but a body of water with a slow current. A thin strip of land connected the path they stood on to the wider spit of land upon which the dozen Langosters wandered.
That is a lot of mobs, Albert muttered as they looked at the mass of monsters. We do have a handful of crowd control abilities, but a dozen might be a bit much, Gerald added.
They're wandering in a kind of pattern, Karen pointed out. If you watch a moment, you'll see it. They spent another minute watching the Langosters. Finally, Gerald spoke up.
Okay, I see it. We can pull probably four if we time it right. Bob, can you hit the one on the far left when I call for it?
Yeah, I can do it if I move a bit,
Bob replied, looking down at them from his perch.
Get ready, Albert told Bob. You're the puller.
Bob took off towards the north with a grin.
I got it!
Once he aggroes them and they come across to us, Stacia, you mind control the woodbound he taps. Kitten, the second one that should come is yours to control. Tiny, pick up the first brutal Langostore. I'll take the second one. Everyone understand? Gerald asked, getting nods from the others.
Okay, let's get this done.
Gerald called out to Bob when the mob was in position. A fire blast soared through the air to splash on the woodbound Langostore. With a screeching cacophony, the mob turned to look at Bob and surged into the water, beelining towards the imp. As it did, the three closest Langostores followed, all of them going into the water and not across the strip of land.
Uh-oh,
Bob said, flying back to the trees above the group.
Incoming!
Once they surface, we have our targets, Gerald replied calmly, keeping his eyes on the water.
The water surged upward as the four Lannisters surfaced a few moments later. Kitten and Stacia immediately began to sing as their targets came into view. Tiny yelled at the first brutal Lannister that was in the group and angled off to the right, leaving the second brutal Lannister for Gerald, who took it off to the left. Before the fight even started, the two woodbound Lannisters came to a brief halt, then moved toward the brutal Lannister that headed towards Tiny. As the mob attacked Tiny, its arms were snagged by the two woodbound Lannisters, who struggled to hold it. Tiny paused for a fraction of a second before he lashed out, striking the mob in the throat.
"Thank you, mistress,"
Tiny bellowed with a savage grin. "Aye," Stacia replied as she drew her blades. "We'll be taking this one if and you all want to help Gerald." Karen angled away, heading for the other one. Fluff was already in the air, having leapt at her target before Stacia had said anything. She landed with a roar, her claws sinking into the brutal Lannister before Tiny. "I'll stay here," Fluff growled as she lashed out again. "Fair enough," Albert called out as he covered his own weapon in flame and followed after Karen's stealthed form. The brutal Lannisters had the apparently obligatory stun that the group was getting used to. They also had a bleed that would stack if the Lannisters did damage to their target. A stun allowed the one who had been caught by its old allies to escape their grasp. Tiny took a considerable amount of damage before the two mobs controlled by Stacia and Kitten were able to grab the brutal Lannister again. One of the charmed mobs put a buff on Tiny that caused his skin to darken, granting a small bonus to his armor. The other one cast a spell that caused roots from the vegetation all around them to wrap around the legs of its former ally, helping to hold it. The fight was over quickly as the two brutal Lannisters were cut down. Stacia dazed one of the two woodbound as they shook off the mind control. It was then that they learned of a third ability that the mobs had. The free one cast an instant spell that cleansed the daze off its ally.
"Just pile on and kill them," Gerald said, as he kept the aggro on the one they had.
Tiny picked up the free Lannister and held it while they killed the two mobs in quick succession. As they looted, Gerald seemed to be thinking.
"It seems the tank-like mobs all have roughly the same abilities," Gerald finally said. "A little variation in the higher-leveled ones, a bleed versus an armor debuff, for instance, but they all have a stun and a taunt."
"Don't most tanks?" Albert asked.
"Fair enough," Gerald shrugged. "It just makes each fight seem a little repetitive."
"Well, this world is a stepping stone to something more," Karen mused. "Delta World is real."
Karen paused, then quickly added, "According to Stacia."
"I wonder what that would be like,"
Mary Sue sighed.
"I'm sure we'll find out someday," Albert coughed, avoiding eye contact.
Going still, Mary Sue looked at Albert, her eyes slowly widening. "Oh."
Gerald pursed his lips, head nodding.
"I get it now. Okay, we should focus on these levels."
Chapter 34. It took them the better part of the next 2 hours to kill the brutal and woodbound Lannisters they needed for the quests. They hadn't found any champion Lannisters or the lost temple they had been tasked to find and explore. Bob came fluttering back to them with a grin.
"Found it, I think. Just ahead is another offshoot, to the west this time. If you follow that for a bit, it ends at a body of water that is a bit clearer than the rest of this place has been. A small island is in the middle of that water, and I saw a few champion Lannisters moving around out there. The island seems to have steps going downward into the lake."
"Sounds like it might be our temple,"
Gerald nodded.
"Okay, let's go see what we can find."
"This be odd," Stacia murmured as they walked along. 2 of our guildies say they've been assassinated in Stormguard. Newer members at that. The assassins didn't say anything, just killed them and left."
Albert frowned. "Maybe they ran into someone like Skippy."
"They don't seem to know what caused it,"
Mary Sue added.
"I'll see if I can find out more while we deal with the temple."
Following Bob's directions, the group came to the edge of the small lake. 100 yards away, the edge of the isle that jutted out of the water could be seen. A single champion Langostor stood on the 10-foot diameter island. It was as large as the other Langostors they had met here, but the champion's shell had an extra sheen to it. "Bob, tag that thing, quick!" Gerald called out to the imp, perched in the tree above them. A fire blast sailed through the air, splashing across the shell of the champion Langostor. As it turned to face them, its oversized claws clacked before it surged into the water. As it vanished into the water, another champion appeared in the center of the island, and also headed towards them. "We have two incoming," Gerald announced. "Stacia, you control the second one. Either command it or daze it."
"Aye," Stacia replied, as she backed up next to Mary Sue.
A few seconds later, the water near the shore surged upward as the first champion came out, splashing water up onto the bank. Its claws clacked together angrily as it looked upwards at Bob. Gerald got its attention by slashing it with his blade. He dragged it a few steps off to the side, turning it so its back was to the rest of the group. "Okay, everyone, pile on!" Gerald called out as he brought his shield up to deflect the first strike of the beast. Albert began to throw his fire blasts at the one Gerald had targeted. Fluff let out her normal roar as she leapt through the air to land beside the champion, her claws digging into its shell as she used piercing strike. Karen appeared beside Gerald, her blade sinking into the side of the Langostor. The one flaming blade caused the faint scent of steamed lobster to drift through the air from where her blade entered the beast. The second Langostor rose up out of the water and took 2 steps onto the land, before it was snared by Stacia's song. As her song began to take effect, the Langostor let out a scream as it shook itself. Stacia blinked as her spell abruptly ended, and the champion launched herself at her. Tiny interposed himself between it and Stacia.
"You will not hurt the mistress!"
He slammed his weapon down onto the head of the champion, taking aggro from Stacia.
"It be immune to me charms for the next minute," Stacia told the others as she drew her blades. "I be helping Tiny with this one."
Bob and BJ continued to rain their fire blasts down on Gerald's target.
"Should we switch over?"
Bob asked.
"Stay on target,"
Albert replied as he invoked flame weapon. He stepped up next to Stacia as her blades dug into the shell of the Langostor.
"I'll help with this one."
"This won't take us long," Gerald told the group.
He was proved wrong, though, as the champion he was tanking suddenly pulsed with a glowing blue light. As the light enveloped the champion, most of its missing health returned to it. That ability took Gerald off guard, surprising him and letting the champion land a solid hit on him. The Langostor's bleed effect became visible on Gerald.
"It's a paladin," Mary Sue told them as she kept the heals going on Gerald.
"As soon as you can lock that other one down, do it," Gerald called out to Stacia.
"I'll handle it in another few seconds,"
Kitten purred as she eyed the one Stacia and Albert were attacking.
"Tiny, hold off in 15 seconds.
"Okay,"
Tiny rumbled. When she called out, the trio pulled back as she began to sing. After a few seconds, the Langostor slumped, then turned to look at Kitten.
"Go kill your old friend,"
she ordered the champion, which staggered off towards its former ally. Stacia sang at the current combatant, using her daze ability to see what it would do. It let out the same scream that the other one had used to stop her controlling song, which disrupted her attempt to daze it, and gave it a minute-long buff to stop all other mind-affecting spells from touching it.
"They be having a way to stop me abilities. It also buffs them to resist all of them for a minute."
They cut the first champion down over the next minute of intense combat. Gerald grumbled as they waited for the mind control to wear off the second one.
"Paladins kind of suck," Gerald commented. "That lay on hands, or claws in their case, is a pain in the ass."
"They don't get the damage reduction you get as a defender,"
Fluff told him in her rougher voice, her skin still red with rage as she eyed the second Langostor.
"Fair enough," Gerald agreed. "How long, Kitten?"
30 seconds,
Kitten said. As the mind control wore off, The group all focused on the single mob. They tore it apart, its lay on hands ability only delaying its death by a handful of seconds. While Gerald looted the bodies, Stacy was distracted by a guild message.
A third member has been assassinated, she told them.
Guild chat be getting more active as people are beginning to throw out ideas as to why.
We need to clear that temple quick, Albert murmured. After we clear it, we can head straight back and see what we can learn about the attacks. We can turn in the quests tomorrow.
That should work, Gerald agreed. I don't see a path to the temple, though.
You going to swim for it? Bob asked. All that plate would make you sink like a stone.
I'll have to unequip it until we hit land, Gerald muttered.
Or, Bob added with a grin, you can check the glyph I see on the ground 12 feet to your left.
Bob, Albert asked with a blank face, why didn't you mention that in the first place?
I wanted to see what he would do,
Bob shrugged.
Besides, I told him before he stripped down. I mean, no one wants to see him naked.
Mary Sue muttered something under her breath, too softly for anyone but Fluffball to hear. Fluff blinked, her lips curving up slightly as she caught the words. As they moved towards the glyph, Fluff fell in next to Mary Sue.
Does he know that?
Huh?
Mary Sue asked, her eyes widening. Lowering her voice so only Mary Sue would hear her, Fluff said,
that you want to see him naked.
Mary Sue looked at Fluff with a shocked expression, before she shook her head a fraction.
I'm sure he knows,
Mary Sue whispered back.
I understand. I put off Al seeing me naked for a while, too. I still have a hard time letting him touch me when I'm without clothing. We all have to take things at our own pace,
Fluff confided.
He just wants everything to be perfect,
Mary Sue confided.
It doesn't need to be, but he wants it to be so much that I hesitate. Do what you think is right. If anything, he's afraid that you'll drive him away,
Fluff told her in the same soft voice.
You might need to take the lead if you want him to go faster. When did you learn so much?
Mary Sue asked curiously.
Stacia, Karen, and Al have been helping me learn. Each has their own way of helping me see what I've been missing in my life. I'm growing because of their love for me. I just hope that you two can flourish and be just as happy.
Mary Sue nodded, a smile growing across her face. Her hand rested on Fluff's shoulder.
Thank you, Fluffball. I don't have many friends. It's hard when people only want to be your friend to get something for themselves. You, though, you don't want anything from me. Can I call you my friend? Smiling back, Fluff nodded. Only if I can say the same for you.
You two done with that private conversation? Albert called out to them, where they had paused a few feet back from the others. Both of them looked up with slightly guilty looks.
Yes,
Fluff stuttered. Chuckling, Albert waved them over to the glyph carved into a tree stump, set flush with the ground. Well, come on. We have a temple to explore. Gerald eyed Fluffball and Mary Sue as they approached the others. He knew that Mary Sue had never really had many friends, because of her background. Seeing her and Fluff talking, he had the impulse to interrupt to make sure Fluff wasn't trying to use Mary Sue. But he knew Fluff wasn't that kind of person.
You okay?
Gerald asked Mary Sue softly, while Stacia examined the glyph.
Yes. Mary Sue beamed at him. Fluff and I are friends. Real friends.
Her bright smile made Gerald smile in return. Albert, Stacia, Fluff, and Karen all felt Mary Sue's simple childlike joy at finding a friend and realized just how rare it must be for her. I'm glad to hear that, Gerald told her. What was the conversation about? He pried, unable to completely shake his old habit of being her protector from the unscrupulous.
Mary Sue looked away. She was telling me how she's working through her issues. How being in a relationship is helping her grow.
Gerald felt a pang in his chest at her words. They hadn't really moved past the opening stages of their own relationship. They slept in the same bed, but fully clothed and without real contact. He wanted more, but he knew it should all be perfect, so he hadn't tried to advance the relationship any. "When we get back to the city, and after we figure out this whole assassin thing," Mary Sue took a deep breath, continuing resolutely, "we should talk." She licked her lips in a moment of hesitation. "I think we should take another step." Eyes wide in shock at her words, Gerald's mouth went slack. He didn't know what to say as he stared into her own uncertain face. "I don't want to hurt you, or rush you." She took his hands, meeting his eyes firmly. "It doesn't have to be perfect, Francis. I just want you with me." "Mary," Gerald murmured, leaning down to meet her lips with his own. The kiss lingered for a moment, before a snicker caught their attention. Looking up, they found Bob and BJ looking down at them.
"About damn time," Bob snickered again. "Does she taste like strawberries? I bet she does."
Mary Sue went red, and Gerald's face went white.
"You little—" Gerald spat as he glared up at the imps. "Bob?"
Albert sighed.
"On the ground. I think you forgot what I once told you about baiting him."
Bob froze for a moment.
"Ah, damn it."
He dropped to the ground at Gerald's feet.
"I was just congratulating him."
Gerald drew back his hand, his anger palpable. Before he could swing, Mary Sue touched his hand. "Let it go, Gerald. We'll have to deal with much worse when we return to the world. We need to learn to ignore the comments," Mary Sue said. Letting out a ragged breath, eyes still locked on Bob, Gerald grunted.
"He shouldn't say such things about you."
"Nothing he says hurts me. Nothing can if you're with me," Mary Sue told him as she touched his cheek. Eyes closing, Gerald nodded. "If this is what you want."
"I'm sorry."
All eyes turned to Bob, who was bowing to the lovers.
"I didn't mean to provoke. Well, not much, anyway. I just wanted to shake you up. You're so uptight with her. If you loosened up, maybe she'd feel like she could approach you without being so formal."
"Bob,"
Tiny rumbled.
"They come from a different world. Maybe it's like that there."
"No."
Bob shook his head vigorously as he stood back up to his full height.
"Master isn't like that."
"That be true," Stacia added as she stepped back from the glyph, which had begun to glow. "The part'll be ready. It just needed the missing line to be added."
"We've wasted enough time standing here," Albert said, breaking the conversation up. "Bob, stay out of their relationship. Got it?"
"Yes, master,"
Bob replied as he fluttered over to Albert.
"Are you going to do what he didn't?"
Albert flicked Bob's forehead without a lot of strength behind it. "Done." He turned to Gerald and Mary Sue.
"Are you two ready?"
Nodding, Gerald hefted his shield with a brief glance to Mary Sue.
"I can take on the world right now."
Blushing lightly, Mary Sue smiled.
"I will stand with you against all comers."
She turned her eyes to Albert.
"We're ready."
"Let's do this,"
Karen cheered, as she stepped on the glyph and vanished.
Chapter 35. They ran into a little trouble when they landed on the island. It turned out to be stone, with an opening in the center that had a ramp leading downward. Three champion Lannisters attacked them as they appeared on the island, two coming up from the water, and the third coming up the ramp. Albert dismissed BJ and copied Tiny. TJ appeared next to Tiny, and the two destroyers picked up the two champions from the water on either side of the island. Gerald took the one that came up the ramp.
Karen, Alberit, Bob, and Stacia all attacked the one on Tiny first. The champion Langestor used its Lay on Hands ability, as well as getting a number of bleeds stacked on Tiny. Stacia used her Comforting Touch to heal him, then Drain Essence to get some back from the champion. Alberit put all of his buffs up on Tiny and renewed Demonic Vitality as needed. When they switched over to TJ's champion, TJ's life had ebbed to almost nothing, so Alberit banished the copy. Tiny picked up the champion as his double vanished and BJ reappeared.
"We're doing fine with the third," Mary Sue told them. "The only issue is the bleed damage."
Bob spun and used Burning Cleanse on Gerald, making Gerald hiss in pain as the bleeds vanished, burned away by Bob's spell.
"I hope that helps,"
Bob replied to her, as he summoned another fire blast to his hand to hurt the target he had been fighting.
"A little warning next time, please," Gerald hissed.
"It does. Thank you, Bob,"
Mary Sue said. The second champion died easily as they fell into a rhythm. It just took longer due to the Lay on Hands the champion had. When the second one died, they transitioned over to the one on Gerald. Stacia put her blades away and stood next to Mary Sue, as there was no room around the Langester for her. When the last one finally fell, the group let out a collective sigh.
"That took longer than normal,"
Mary Sue said as she finished healing Gerald.
"The quest is to explore the temple. It doesn't mention a boss, though."
"A little odd, but we'll find out why soon," Albert said, as he looked down the ramp into the temple.
"Another guildie has been assassinated," Stacia informed them.
"What in the fuck?" Gerald snapped. His gaze went distant as he read over the recent guild chat. "We need to hurry this up so we can go try and find out what is going on."
Karen went a few feet down the ramp. "Then let's get going."
They looted the champions before following Karen. She had paused 10 feet in and was kneeling, examining the floor with a frown.
"Something about this floor looks off to me," she muttered.
"Trapped?" Gerald asked her.
"It might be. My skill is well below that of a trapsmith, but I at least have a chance to detect them," Karen said as she stood up.
Her eyes went to Tiny.
"Tiny, this might be a trap. Will you trigger it for us?"
Alberit frowned at how quick she was to offer up Tiny as the guinea pig. "Wait," Alberit interjected quickly, as Tiny had started forward. Dismissing BJ, he brought TJ back into being. "TJ can do it instead."
"As you wish,"
TJ and Tiny rumbled in unison, as TJ stepped past the group. When his foot came down on the patch Karen had been examining, a spear shot out of the left-hand wall. It banged off TJ's shield entirely by luck, as he hadn't been prepared to deflect the attack.
"Okay,"
Karen said as she stepped forward to examine the spear, which was slowly retracting back into the wall. After a minute, she touched a few spots on the wall and a smile crept over her mouth.
"It's disarmed."
"Why do I have the feeling this is going to be a dungeon that trapsmiths love and the rest of us hate?"
Gerald sighed.
"Because it's probably filled with traps,"
Alberit agreed with Gerald. "Maybe we should wave this dungeon off for the day."
"Master,"
Tiny rumbled,
"I do not mind triggering all of the traps for you."
"I can't say that is what I want," Alberit told his minion.
"You need to level,"
Tiny rebutted.
"I can do this. Just keep copying me and TJ will trigger all of them moving forward."
"He has a point, and it will make him happy, knowing that he aided you in this way,"
Stacia added.
"All in favor of Tiny doing the death run through the place for us?"
Albert asked the group. Tiny, TJ, Bob, Stacia, and Kitten all raised their hands immediately. After a moment, Karen's hand went up, followed by Fluffball.
"A2, Fluff?" Albert asked.
Gerald and Mary Sue raised their hands, leaving only Albert with his hand down.
"He wants to help, and we need to level you as quickly as we can,"
Fluff told him evenly, though he felt her sadness over sacrificing Tiny. She also couldn't ignore Tiny's steadfast willingness to do anything he could to aid his master.
"Fine," Albert sighed. "TJ, you're the trap springer. We'll be a few dozen yards behind you. Karen, follow him and see about disarming the traps.
On it,
Karen said as she patted TJ on the back. So, big, strong, and deadly, you ready?
Yes. TJ rumbled as he started forward at an even pace. Tell me if you think a trap is close.
You do nay like this, Stacia stated in a whisper to Albert.
No. It feels like I'm using him as a sacrificial lamb, and it bothers me. Albert replied just as softly to her.
Did you nay feel his sense of pride when you agreed?
I did, but it doesn't really make me feel any better about it.
You have a good heart. Ma has told me some of her past masters that when nay is loving towards her and the other minions as you be with us, you be softer on us than even Da or Uncle Stu be with their minions.
Stacia smiled softly.
I don't want to lose any more family,
Alberic told her, his face creasing in remembered sorrow.
You be thinking we may be able to take them with us when we go?
I don't think we will. But who knows what Vicky has planned.
Trap!
Karen said loudly to TJ. The next 2 hours were spent exploring the 3 levels of the temple, each level larger than the last. Well over 50 traps had to be dealt with during their exploration. TJ died more than 2 dozen times, and Karen was only able to disarm maybe a dozen of the traps. The rest of the group marked, just in case they had to come back. They eventually found the main room, which had bas-relief carvings of justice and peace, preaching to an audience of humans along the walls.
Well, it is in the human empire,
Albert murmured, knowing it was probably a temple devoted to one of those two gods, but still hoping it might be something else.
What's that on the altar?
Mary Sue asked, squinting. They peered at the altar, trying to get a better look in the pale light coming from the patches of bioluminescent fungus that provided all the light inside the temple, aside from the glowing shields of Gerald, Tiny, and TJ.
Maybe an icon that we can retrieve.
I don't think TJ should touch it, Albert said quickly.
Mary Sue, you worship justice, right?
Karen asked, turning to the priestess.
Peace, actually,
Mary Sue replied.
You think I should grab it?
I think it would be better than any of us doing it, Karen suggested. I'll go with, just in case, Gerald added.
Okay,
Mary Sue agreed. She walked slowly towards the altar, with Gerald at her side. 10 feet from the altar, Gerald froze in place.
I can't go on.
He frowned. I have a debuff, holy light. It says only a priest or paladin of peace or justice can step to the altar.
There has to be a way around that,
Albert muttered as a pop-up appeared.
Congratulations! You have explored the Lost Temple of Peace.
The quest is done even before we grab the item?
Karen puzzled.
I wonder if this is one of the class quests.
What? Albert asked.
Like your armor, there are quests only certain classes can do.
Fluff answered his question.
The only exception to that is assassins. They can take bounties to kill people instead of getting quests.
Do you think that's what is happening to our guildies?
Albert asked.
I can try to find out once we hit town. I'll run over to my class trainer and see what I can find out,
Karen told him. While they talked, they watched as Mary Sue slowly walked forward, her face suffused with wonder.
So beautiful,
Mary Sue whispered as she finally reached the altar.
I understand and will do so,
she whispered, as her hand wrapped around the item on the altar. She slipped the thing into her bag, and the debuff on Gerald vanished.
I'm ready to go,
she told them, looking at them with a broad smile.
Homestones, Albert said. We'll split up and see what we can find out. Meet at the old guild hall in an hour.
Works,
Gerald agreed as he pulled out his homestone. See you there.
The quartet appeared before the archway that led to their home and first guild hall. Ironhand held them before they even had a chance to move.
I was coming to see you guys.
Albert turned to greet Ironhand.
What's up?
We just got ganked by an assassin,
Ironhand told them.
Why is the guild being targeted?
Legolas asked.
That is what we're here to look into, Albert replied.
Karen, why don't you take off for your class trainer? Let us know what you find out.
On it,
Karen said, starting off down the street at a jog.
Far more people just reported being killed,
Stacia added, her expression dour.
This does not look good. We should go inside and see who else is waiting to talk with us,
Fluff said, nervously grooming one ear. You're right, Albert agreed, motioning her and Stacia before him. Ironhand, Gerald is going to want to talk to you later as well. Ironhand frowned briefly, then nodded.
I asked about running some theater events for the Guild. I wasn't sure how Mary Sue would take to me trying to get in on her stuff.
I don't think she'll mind having some help. We have other things that are going to be taking up the foreseeable future.
Albert sighed.
What I meant was that we were discussing adding a few more officers.
Ironhand blinked.
Me?
Your name did come up, but the decision will ultimately rest with Gerald. Albert motioned Ironhand toward the guild hall. Until then, let's focus on what the hell is happening right now. Inside the guild hall were three people who had been assassinated earlier. When Fluff walked in, followed by Stacia and Albert, the trio started to clamor for their attention. Albert let out a loud whistle to shut them up.
Hold up! We're here to find out what the hell is going on, but we can't get anywhere if you all try to talk at once. Let's make this one person at a time, okay?
Albert led the three new guild members over to the few chairs.
Okay, tell me your story first,
Harryold, Albert said, pointing at the berserker once they were all seated. Harryold told them how he'd been stabbed from behind as he left the maid cafe. He was stabbed once in the back, which applied a 10-second paralytic poison. The assassin then cut his throat and stabbed him twice more, which had killed him before the paralysis wore off. The other two people told identical stories, except that one had been leaving Grimgar's weaponry, and the other the Dead Man Inn.
We were ambushed by two assassins when we left Giardino's just a bit ago,
Ironhand said, motioning to Legolas.
Same story as theirs.
As he pondered their words, his message icon began to flash. Albert opened it to find a message from Karen.
Message from Karen.
This isn't good. There's a standing bounty for any Alpha Company member available at the Assassin's Guild. It's even open to players who have the Assassin class, as well as the NPC Assassins. There's nothing about who's funding it. It appears to be open season on Alpha Company.
This is the end of Fractured Spirit. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting oddfans.com, the premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's audfans.com. You have been listening to Fractured Spirit, Book 5 of Alpha World, produced by Emily Durr. Executive producer, Greg Lawrence. Text copyright 2018 by Daniel Schinhofen. Production copyright 2018 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.